We gather together b'slichus principally to intensify our tefillos, to heighten our awareness of the impending Yom HaNoron, and going to spend in the coming month, coming 2 weeks, a great deal of time at tefillah. It's worth that we should understand a little bit about the structure of the tefillah, of the slichus, and also to understand the significance of tefillah. We examine the structure of the slichus. Basically, we have the introductory part, Ashrei, as we have at Mincha, Kaddish. And then, principally, we have the varied piyutim, but the most significant part of the slichus is the Yud Gimel Midas, that we have any number of times the Yud Gimel Midas. If in the Yud Gimel Midas, we come to Shema Koleinu, and after that, we come to the Vidui. And it's a very significant order that in the structure of the slichus that the Yud Gimel Midas precedes the Vidui. The Dubnim Ragid writes that Vidui is something which is very dangerous. It can be very effective and very helpful, but it's also very dangerous. You come before the judge and you confess or your culpability. So it depends what the predisposition of the judge. If he just lost $100,000 in an investment, he had a fight with his wife, and his children are acting in a fashion which is totally inconsistent with what he wants in life, and then that the next morning you walk into court and you confess all your crimes, if he puts the one that appears before him, the defendant before him, away for the next 25 years, we're not surprised. If on the other hand, you come before the judge, you got married yesterday, he's in a good mood, he made a lot of money, his son just graduated Harvard yesterday, and you come, the world is a very rosy place, tells you, you know, you have a suspended sentence. But which judge are you going to find? So when we come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so how do we know which one we're going to find? If the Midas Adin is in force, then Vidui is not a very good thing, which is in fact the reason that on Rosh Hashanah there is no recitation of the Vidui, because Rosh Hashanah is a time of Midas Adin. So how do we know that we can confess before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and succeed? So to that we have to endeavor to effectuate the Midas HaRachamim. And Chazal tell us that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu that if you come, Kol Zman, that you come Lefonai with the Yud Gimel Midas, then there will be Poseach Shari Rachamim, Rabbeinu Shel Olam Rachamim upon us. So that's the Seder of the Slichus. We first have a number of times the Yud Gimel Midas. Then we beseech the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and Shema Koleinu. And first after that we come to the Vidui. Because by then we're hopeful that in the Schus of the Yud Gimel Midas that we will be Zeicha, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will look upon us with Midas Rachamim. The essence of Tefillah, Chazal tell us, the essence of tefillah is leiv, is the focus that we have upon the tefillah, the isbatlus, the self-negation before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the realization that everything in our lives, individually and collectively, stands in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We look out at the world today. The world is still not recovered from the economic crisis of a number of years ago. We still suffer greatly from it. Tremendous suffering in the community from it. We look at Eretz Yisrael today, the situation on around all of its borders. There's no human being on the face of this earth that knows what he ought to do about it. And we realize, where did it come from? Overnight, a place that would need tremendous stability for decades. Other than Lebanon, all the countries surrounding Israel, a tremendous stability. All of a sudden, in the last 2 years, the stability is gone. Tremendous infighting, thousands of people dead, and who knows what tomorrow brings and how it will affect us. The realization that we're totally dependent on the Rabbeinu Shalom. And to realize how effective tefillah is. Among the tefillahs of the Kohen Gadol, when he stood inside the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom HaKippurim, he asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, he rotzen, that the tefillah of the Ovrei Drachim, the traveler's tefillahs, should not be accepted by the Rabbeinu Shalom. What did the travelers want? A person that had to travel doesn't like that it should rain and should be muddy and uncomfortable outside. So a traveler is mispalo constantly. The day that I have to get on the road, it should be clear. I went back to the country one night after a chasana at the beginning of the summer. For the first 80 miles till I reached Middletown, I could barely see the road. I went back all the nights. It was absolutely clear. So what's our tefillah of the Ovrei Drachim? Rabbeinu Shalom. Take away the clouds, take away the rain, bring out the moon, the sun. Everything should be bright and clear. And what was the concern? That if the Rabbeinu Shalom accepts the tefillah of the Ovrei Drachim, the world of agriculture will come to a halt. There'll be no rain. Let us ponder that for a moment. All of Klal Yisrael, the whole nation, is dependent upon rain to drink, to eat. And a few guys are on the road each day, relative to the whole nation, and they're going to be mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, I don't want to get wet today, so please take the rain away. And the Kohen Gadol had to be mispalo in the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom HaKippurim, in the Kodesh Kodashim, not we should overwhelm our enemies on the battlefields. Not that the Beis HaMikdash should stand, that tefillah should be accepted, all of that. But beyond that, don't listen to the tefillah of the Ovrei Drachim. The Eibush is ready to accept that tefillah. And all of Klal Yisrael is going to suffer because of them. But that tefillah comes B'Lev Shalom. When you're walking on the road and it's raining and every step is uncomfortable, the krechts, the sigh that you give to the Rabbeinu Shalom comes B'Yomek HaLev from the depths of the heart. And a tefillah that comes from the depths of a person's heart could be accepted against the interest of all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the only means to counter this tefillah is so powerful that the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom HaKippurim had to be mispalo that the tefillah shouldn't be accepted. The realization of our connection. Tefillah is our connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Gemara says in Yuma, and if I involve, that Sholu Talmido was Rav Shimon ben Yochai. The Talmidim asked Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbeinu Shalom, this system of the delivery of the mon is a highly inefficient system. Every day people have to go out, gather money, go back. Tomorrow, you can imagine if they sold 3 slices of bread, that's all you could buy every day, and 1 egg. And every morning you have to go to the store to Wasserman's and be a line from Wasserman's to who knows where, down to Union Turnpike. And to get 3 slices of bread and an egg, it's an inefficient system. The Rabbeinu Shalom should have delivered the mon in large volume, and everyone would have come one day with a wagon and loaded up and gone home once a year. And this would be an efficient way to deliver the money. But every day you give a guy 2 slices of bread and come back tomorrow. For what reason did he do this? And Rav Shimon ben Yochai said the reason is that we should feel our dependency on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam kol yom v'yom. If I had a year's worth of money, so I'd go home, and I wouldn't be mispalo to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Until when? 11 months later, I said, you know, the supply is about to run out. I better run to shul to be mispalo. But the rest of the year, life is good. The Siddur of Chatzka Levenstein, the Chatzadik Lebrocha, the Mashkiach of Mir, and later of Ponovich. So the Ponovich Rav tended to be very, very on time with his payments in the payroll. And one week he came to Rav Chatzka Levenstein, and he was very apologetic, and he told him, I'm sorry, I don't have any money to pay this week. So Rav Chatzka responded with joy, with simcha. He said, until I came to Ponovich my entire life, he said, I had no idea if I would get paid on Friday. I wouldn't get paid. I'd get paid a week after, the next month. I had no idea. So I spoke to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he should sustain me, because I had no other means of living. So since I came to Ponovich, he said, the check comes every Friday. My tefillah is not the same before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You reminded me now of how I have to be mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I'm thankful to you. The koyach of tefillah barabim, Rabbi Yisai, we should not diminish in our own minds. There's a medrash. It's either Rabbi Yisai or Rabbi Yisai Aglili. It always escapes me. There was an elderly woman, and she no longer desired to live. She outlived all her peers, perhaps her children. Just life had no time in it anymore. And Rabbi Yosi Aglili saw that he had no means really of restoring her to a positive outlook on life. It was gone. Nothing that he could do for her. So he said, if you don't want to live, I have one piece of advice for you. This woman used to come to the Beis HaKnesses every single morning to be mispalo, that she should have the schus of Tfilas HaRabim. So Rabbi Yosi told her, stay home for 3 days. Don't come the next 3 days to shul. And she listened to him, and she passed away 3 days later. The koyach of the Tfilas HaRabim that we have is so awesome that a person... She was hanging by a thread her entire life, but she came to be mispalo barabim. That sustained her. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that Kol Zman Detzibur is tzoyakim b'lev sholem, that we cry out b'lev sholem to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we will be answered. And the Beforshei Rambam raised the issue that the Gemara says in Tainus that Nisol Avavenu El Kapoyim, that a person that davens b'yochid has to daven b'leiv sholim necessarily. A person that davens b'tzibur, even if he's deficient in the leiv sholim, but he still has hope for that his tefillah should be accepted. Kiveger quotes a Sfardish tshuva from a Kadman, who writes the following, that it's true that barabim, the tefillah may be accepted even if we lack in kavona. But that's still assuming that there's at least one person in the tzibur that has appropriate kavon. So imagine the schus each one of us can have when we come together with Rabbi. That if at this moment I'm fully focused on the tefillah, it's not only my tefillah that's accepted, but the tefillah of the entire Rabbi will now be accepted because of me. And that could switch in every 5 minutes. The next 5 minutes, someone else has leiv. He has kavon shleima. Davened b'leiv sholem. And in his chus, tefillas harabim is accepted. So here we have the nature of tefillah. The realization we're dependent upon the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, b'frat u'b'chlal. The oimek halev, the sincerity, and the isbatlis, the self-negation before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the power of tefillah. The power of the individual's tefillah. And the power of the tefillah barabim, how powerful it could be. When I stop to think of the power of tefillah, the story I probably have shared with you before, but it brings it into very, very vivid focus. There's a Ram in one of the Mesiftis in town, and one of his daughters was ill once, and he had to go to the hospital, one of the hospitals here in Queens, for Shabbos. So he ran out on Friday to King's Highway to buy some food for her, whatever, to bring to the hospital for himself and for her. And he goes into a store, and there's an elderly, the Polish or Russian Jew, I think a Russian Jew that's there. And he tells him he has to still travel to Queens, the Erev Shabbos, his daughter's in the hospital. He gives him what he needs. And then he tells him, but one thing, he says, don't forget to be mispalo. Tefillah is the most important thing. And he's a posher, the Yid, a storekeeper, and so he's a Talmud Chacham, and he asks him what exactly his intention, what is the message that he wants to give him. And he says, I'll tell you, he says, let me explain to you the story of my life, why I'm standing here today with you on King's Highway. He says, in the time of the Holocaust, I fell into the hands of the Germans, and they put me on a train, and they sent me to a concentration camp. And V'hoya b'yei Mahuda sent me into the gas chamber too. So we were waiting to die. So I said, listen, this is the last chance that I have to be mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shalom. So I went over to the side of the room and I started the Daven Mincha. And I got so involved in the Tfilas Mincha that by the time I finished, I turned around and there was nobody else left in the room. Everyone else went into the gas chamber and they were all dead. I was the only one left there. The Nazi guard, Yimach Shemo, came in and he saw me there. He says, what in the world are you doing here? And I said, I was lost in thought. So the guard told him, get out of here, we'll kill you tomorrow. He says, and that was the last day the gas chambers that concentration camp functioned. Says, that tefillas mincha saved my life. When Chazal tell us, death seems imminent, escape an impossibility, but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is still at hand. Keep that focus as we enter the period of Tfilas between now and Yom Kippurim. We'll daven differently, Rabbi Yisai. And if we daven differently, the entire world is open for us. May the Rabbeinu Shel Olam grant that we offer for ourselves and for Klal Yisrael the necessary tefillos, and that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in fact, give us a year of brocha, Yeshua. And maybe we will finally be zeicha to see the end of Tzaros and Shal Yisrael and see, in fact, the Gula Shleima Be'ezus Hashem as well. Agat Yoram, let me say.